So I begin to describe what I sometimes refer to as my core memory. For you to know, this memory is a very simple version of the more fleshed out or expanded memory that I and others are now returning into our connection with. The parts of my core memory that are particularly simple are at the very beginning and the very end. When I received this core memory, I perceived it because it was so much more vast and huge than anything that I could energetically tune into in existence in the physical realm. I knew my core memory at that time to be like a bubble that contained within it all the rays, all the fragments that exist now in human civilization as religions and spiritual teachings. Since seclusion, particularly in the last few months, even my core memory has been expanded to include memory so far-reaching I couldn't see it when I came into the consciousness of this core memory. I'm very clear to share this core memory with boundaries around it, meaning to share it as purely as possible to the way I received it in seclusion in 1990-1991. The reason for this is that this memory is now very familiar to me, and yet I've had a number of years to realign with it, to reconnect with it, for my being to be literally reconstructed, to resonate with it. The vibration is so bright and so intense and so pure. This takes me to the reason for the physical cleansing. One of the prerequisites for awakening is that the physical being be cleansed and pure. The primary reason for this is impurities in the physical being affect distortion. The clearer our being is physically and emotionally, the more open-minded we are, the more willing we are to temporarily set aside other beliefs in order to receive a new awakening, and then to weigh the two side by side, not for competition's sake, but rather for reintegration's sake. The clearer our physical being, the easier the awakening process for us will be. The less risk there is of misinterpretation of energy through our being in the process of us giving the new awareness away to others. In order for the ascension memory to be received clearly by all humans on the planet, it is critical that we adhere with deep commitment to the perfection of our own physical being. Many times when I speak of my memories, the words are not mine own. Many times the words are different from words that I might choose. Perfection, I mean in the divinest sense, I mean not judgment. One of the things that I came to know so deeply in seclusion, and it has been played out for me to see a number of times in the years since then, is that healing precedes awakening. The healing that many humans are participant in at the present time on planet Earth, be it personal healing or collective global healing in the way of environment, human rights, peace, and others, may seem huge at times, may seem daunting, may seem overwhelming, and yet it simply is preparation, rehearsal, in a sense, for the ultimate healing, which is healing with the divine being ourselves and all energy in its purest state. There's much that I could speak on these tapes, and yet I am very clear to keep them brief, to keep them concise. The possibility, and sometimes probability, of people listening to these tapes will be that many questions will arise. These questions can then be addressed to people that I've been working with in sharing these visions. This again is a process of the looping up, the ascension. Remember again the image of the rope ladder. When energy is passed down through someone, given away, in a sense, that giving away is an extension of a helping hand to assist others up to take their place while they climb higher, assisted by ones who have come into slightly more awakening in advance of them. If questions arise for you as you listen to these tapes, it may be important for you to take note of them. You may find that the questions dissolve, that the answers arrive somewhere deep in yourself. You may find that these answers may come into you on a conscious level, and you may find that you simply no longer need to ask the question, as if somehow on some deeper level of your being, you've reconnected, you know the answer. Much of my memory still exists on a cellular level. I've experienced many times energy coming back into my system that is not yet conscious. As this energy comes back into my system, it is ready for the unlocking, the reactivating, the decoding, to allow me on a more conscious level to recall it when the time is right, if it's necessary for me to know it on a conscious level. Part of what's happening in the ascension process is that our beings are actually being rewired, reprogrammed. What happened a long time ago was that it became primarily unsafe for us to exist in physical form, replete with all our inner knowing. And so what happened was we gave away, shall we say, huge chunks, vastness of our inner knowing for it to be kept and stored, safe kept outside us until the time was right for it to be replaced back in our beings, to be decoded, to be uncoded, to be awakened within our bellies primarily, like a rocket's blast inside itself, to power it up into awakeness. It may be that many people in the early stages of ascension experience periods of drowsiness and fatigue, what I call trance. It's very important to discern whether this is a necessary part of your awakening, or whether it is, in fact, distraction. With discernment, you will come to know the difference. Trance is a very deep state of rest. It is like a surrender and acquiescence of the energy normally required to power the physical system, to keep it alive, awake, well-fed, and nurtured. It is a virtual acquiescence of the energy that normally feeds the function of the human body and its alert mind. Acquiescing or surrendering or making available this body of energy to the higher knowing, it's almost like the body in its functions shuts down to allow the soul or spirit or mind to expand back into deeper knowingness. At the end or completion of the trance period, which may last a few moments, a few days, months, or even years, for some few people, it's like a coming back inside the body, it may or may not be that your energy has actually left your physical form. Usually, in my experience, it is. It's like my being separates into layers and travels out to reclaim lost knowledge, then travels back to bring that knowledge back into me. When I was in seclusion, something that happened very consistently was that I was not allowed, so to speak, to get up from a lying position for hours sometimes, until all of my layers had regrouped into wholeness inside my being. I was told by the energies who came into my consciousness early in seclusion as the energies, the consciousnesses who were guiding me, that it was for my own protection, for my own sense of comfort, that I stay lying for such a long time. I was told, and have come to experience this several times in the recent past, to know it is very tangibly real, that if I had gotten up, lifted my physical being, before these layers of energy had returned back into my being, I would have experienced fear due to the disorientation. It's very important to stay with a process until its completion. This is one of the learnings in the awakening of ascension. To stay till the finish. To stay till the ending. To complete the whole puzzle, leaving no parts undone. When I came into my core memory in seclusion, I found it so magical, I was in awe. I found it sad, in a sense, that I was alone. And yet I had never been so unalone in my life. For I was in the presence of numerous guides who came to be very close friends of mine. Not in physical form, yet I remembered them so deeply, so really, that my experience in seclusion felt more real than the physical world had felt before. Coming out of seclusion, I began to feel that I lived in two worlds, and my work in the last number of years has been to sew those two worlds together. An image I was given towards the end of seclusion was this, of the 4D, as we called it, the fourth dimension, and beyond, lowering itself down like a sling, like a harness, to touch the pavement, as my guides called it, the concrete, the physical, solid ground, and to rest there a moment till all energy from the physical realms settled in and knew their place inside the sling, the harness. And then the harness lifting up to lift all energy that had been lost and trapped in the physical realms back up, passively resting, being nurtured in the journey, back up into total knowingness, into unity, into light. The ascension, in many ways, encompasses or houses paradox. For in order to return to unity, all fragments must be recollected. All fragments must be equally valued. All fragments must be interwoven in order to have a whole again. Psychology fits within this. Religious teachings fit within this. Science fits within this. All beliefs and ideologies fit within this. They all belong inside this. Nothing is excluded, This was one of the hugest awarenesses I had in seclusion early on, was that ascension embodies, takes care of all. Nothing exists outside of ascension. And I began to understand why and what this meant. My expanded memories and those of the group that I've been working with, when they are shared more publicly, will expand on and slightly alter or slightly change in appearance the very beginnings of what I am about to share. And yet they are simply an expansion, a deepening. The expanded memories that I and this group have been having of late, in a sense, extend farther back in time to the beginning. My core memories in seclusion extended so far back in time to the beginning and required so much energy to reach that far back in order to reclaim them, that for a number of years following seclusion, I knew there was more, and yet I needed to be rested, I needed to be ready, as well as did others, for us to have the strength and the fortitude to remember more memory. The reason I say strength and fortitude is that the physical being must be strong to allow for ascension. This does not exclude people whose bodies are ailing. What this means is that we must return to a relationship of respect with our beings. Even more so than the physical being strong again, our psychological being is that which is most greatly taxed in us reawakening to the ascension process. Psychologically, there is much to understand. In understanding, there is calm. Without understanding, there is often confusion, disparity, separation, fragmentation, conflict. When we come into understanding, and the whole ascension process has been designed, shall we say, to bring all consciousness, all memory back into understanding, you'll notice the word understand means to stand under conscious memory. Understanding allows calmness. When I know something inside myself, there is no question. When I am unsure, then I waver. This is why it is imperative to listen in, to know for oneself what is true, and at the same time to not immediately discard some information without checking in with your discernment. For without discernment, you may throw out something very core to you. One of the things I learned to do immediately in seclusion was to discern, something that I constantly did. Every time I was told something by my guides, every time energy came towards me for me to entertain, to listen to consider, to contemplate, I always listened in. And I knew inside myself when it was distraction, when it was distortion, and when it was pure light, pure memory, coming to me only for the highest, greatest good. This is something that I reawakened inside myself, something that my being naturally knew how to do. I simply needed to create the space and value it and trust it deeply. And in the trusting, I came to learn, somewhat like a scientific study, how listening in and discernment works. For trust feeds on trust. Trust builds upon itself, like any energy in physics does. And in entering into trust with discernment, my trust grew bigger, became more solid, much more solid, and yet breathing. Porous trust with clear boundaries. not to be distracted or polluted. Pour us trust to be a beacon for all others to remember how to trust. Trust is not deception. The only thing I trust is what I know that I can trust. All else must prove to me that I can trust it. This does not mean skepticism, which is a solid form of fear. This means boundaries and a requirement for congruence. Part of the ascension process is a deep-seated building and nurturing fortification of trust. Trust in ourselves, trust in all others, trust in what we know inside. It's like all of us know how to make it home, and yet we can only make the journey together, which I will explain in a few moments. Imagine for a moment your trust being like the floodlight, a singular floodlight, as if you were a plane or a bird flying. It is your directions, it is your map, it is your instructions of how to get to where you're going. Your trust is like the magnet that draws you closer to your destination. Your trust is like the pulley, the cord, the fishing line, the rope that pulls you home, as if you're being towed by your own trust, as if you're being towed back home, surrendering into trust with all discernment, alert, awake, alive, to know your trust is finely tuned back to the source. And so ascension becomes very simple. It becomes, on a very simple level, surrendering back into trust. There comes a time when we've become so attuned in our discernment that we are discernment. It no longer requires conscious effort, for our whole being becomes discernment. Our whole being becomes our memory aligned to the greater truth. One of the things that we've discovered in recent months, the group with which I work and I, is that the physical being is like a vessel. The vessel is intended to be filled with mine own essence, my own memory, my own, shall we say, portion, though portion is a limiting word, my own part of the whole collective truth. If for some reason I become negligent, even through innocence, which is quite common, and my vessel is not full with my own truth, my own connection to the source, my own connection to the totality, to all energy, to the whole, then there is space in my vessel for a foreign energy which is not my truth. It may be truth, but it's not mine. And the whole point of this is that I need to be a whole piece of the ascension puzzle. I need to contain inside myself only the energy of my piece of the ascension puzzle. If I allow other energies to enter into me, I am not respecting them. For in keeping clear of my own boundaries, whereby only my energy is housed within me, I am supporting and respecting all other energies to have the courage, the trust, the faith, which is integral and core to them, to step inside their own vessels, reacquaint themselves, trust, and know they're safe. Ascension on a very practical level in the human realm is the end of codependence. Codependence has existed in realms far beyond the physical realm, the human realm. What the end of codependence means, basically, is that any energy that I've been carrying or storing for anyone else or anything else, it is time now, in the quickest possible way, to give that energy back to the sources who've given it to me, and to support them in knowing, to enable them to take it back inside themselves, to take responsibility for it, and to own it. Likewise, it is imperative now that I reclaim back inside of me all the energy which is mine that has been stolen, or that I, like many others, have given away and trusted into other beings that they might carry that energy for me. Again, it's like the Kaya Po. I must, in order for the ascension to be complete, for it to happen, reclaim into me all the energy that is mine. This is my power. By power, I mean energy which is purely present for service. My core memory is a very simple version of the entire truth. Because I have incarnated in this lifetime in a certain place upon this planet, resplendent with a certain culture and certain influences, certain ideologies, even though I did not study them consciously ever in this lifetime, my memory has taken on a specific language. Not a language that I've created, for my memory has come to me as I've learned to step out of the way and let it simply flow through me, in the language that it has been presented to me, a language which most easily can be communicated with those around me. By this nature, it is limited, in the sense that, in speaking my memory in words as well as energy, those words have associations for other people. Those words often affect attachments for other people. The challenge in sharing memory with words is the risk of it being misinterpreted. It is therefore important that in listening to these tapes, you be as physically relaxed and as open-minded to entertain possibility as possible. There is no expectation. In fact, there is a counter-request that you swallow whole and buy into anything here that I might say. I speak only of my experience, which I know for me is huge and all-encompassing, open to further refinement as is necessary. And yet, I share it simply as a catalyst for you, that it might quicken your process of remembering your own piece of the puzzle, your own language with which you interpret and remember and share the collective memory.